Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for giving us health to our body that we were able to come out today. Lord, there's a lot of people out that are sick with flu and various different things going on in their bodies, and we want to pray for them today as a church, that you strengthen their bodies, our loved ones, Lord, our brothers and sisters, that you give them strength in their body, heal them physically, Lord, give them a touch. Lord, and we pray that you would give us a touch too, that we could hear your word and set aside all distractions in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 6, Jesus has now started his ministry. And last week we saw that he had called the 12 disciples. We actually called them the 12 delinquents because these guys were pretty rough, amen? I mean, anytime you pick a guy who's stabbing people to be on your A-team, that's like next level, Jesus. I don't know if that's somebody I'd want on my team, but this was a group of ragamuffins. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a ragamuffin. I'm not going to act like I'm cultured. I'm not going to act and appear to you as I'm educated. I'm a rough guy. But I will tell you this, God takes ordinary people and he does extraordinary things, amen? And God does things. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter your talent. It doesn't matter your portfolio. God takes rough necks. These guys were driving around in Ford trucks with stickers and beer cans in the back, rattling around, messed up guys. And he changed the world with them because that's what God does. And what we want to do, there's two things we want to do for God to use us. Number one, write it down in your mind. Submission. This is a big thing for us. We don't want to submit to nobody. But we need to submit our life to the Lord. And two, humility. We need to exercise humility with the Lord. Those two things. If we exercise submission and humility, there's no telling what God will do in and through somebody like that. And so we come to Jesus just as we are, amen? And we believe that he's going to use us just as we are. We don't have to have it all figured out. The only thing that we need to use with Jesus is to submit to him and have humility with him, and he'll do amazing things through all of us. And so Jesus has picked the 12. This is his A-team. And now he's starting his earthly ministry with these guys. And we're going to be starting in verse 17. And actually, we're going to start in verse 20. And this is typically known as the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 7, you see Jesus giving the same sermon, but it's a little different in Luke chapter 6. And it's not the same account. And in Matthew chapter 5, it's Jesus was going up on the mount to teach. In Luke chapter 6, it's Jesus coming down to the plain to teach on everybody's level. But there's a lot of things that are kind of the same. And the reason why that is because we don't always need to learn something new. We need to be reminded of some things that we've already been taught. Amen? There's nothing wrong with hearing the same thing over and over again in church. So today you may not hear nothing that you didn't know, but you're going to need to hear some things that you need to be reminded of. Jesus didn't have a problem doing that. We need to be reminded of some things. Thank you, Lord, that he reminds us. Thank you, God. We get so busy. We get so our schedule gets jacked up and hectic, and the kids are crazy at home punching each other in the mouth. And you know what I mean? We're forgetting stuff. And so it's always good to be reminded of some old truths. Amen? So now Jesus is given a different message. It's the same message, but it's a little different. And really, it's about identifying a Christian. Have you guys seen that show, The Masked Singer? I was watching a part of it, and I don't know how these people figure these out. They got the big, like, unicorn head, and they've got somebody behind it singing it, and you got to guess who it is. How many of you guys, just a show of hands, watch that show? Two people. Praise God. It's not going to, hopefully it does better than us. Hopefully that show's not dependent upon us. but you never can tell who it is. There's some clues about it, but you never really know who's behind the mask. When you go into Luke chapter 6, verse 20, Jesus is showing who a Christian is behind the mask, because sometimes people come in, you don't really know where they stand with the Lord. We all know people that act one way, but in their heart, they're different. And so Jesus gives some characteristics of what a Christian is, someone who's following him. And I'm just going to give you the brief, I'm just going to give it to you up front, and then we're going to unpack it. It's the poor, it's the hungry, it's those who weep, and it's those who are talked bad about. There's four blessings, and then there's four woes that counter it. And Jesus is going to start in verse 17. If you're there, would you say amen loud? Let me hear you. I need you guys to wake up if I'm going to teach this morning, because I'll tell you what, whenever that time goes back this way, if I didn't love you guys, I promise I would have stayed at home today. It was crazy. I was setting my phone and it said I was going to get 4 hours of sleep. So be praying over me. I covet your prayers to get through it. Are you guys tired this morning? But you made it. Amen. Let's give God praise because you made it. Come on, let's wake up for a second. You got here. So let's start in verse 17. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 20. Jesus begins the blessing of the poor. It says, then he lifted up his eyes towards the disciples and he said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. It's kind of interesting when I teach, Vicki asks me, what verse are you going to be teaching on? Because if you've ever noticed, there's an old saying that says, where you are in the scriptures, there you are in life. Have you noticed it? When you're studying the Word of God, you're like, man, I am right there in that place right now. And so Vicki asked me this week, she said, where are you going to be teaching out of this week? And I said, Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And she says, Jason, how does it start out? And I said, blessed are the poor. And she's like, that's just great, great. Great, we're going to be going bankrupt this week. But what Jesus is talking about, when he talks about blessed are the poor, it's kind of like opposite day at school. I don't know if you guys remember that, but you go to school and everybody's wearing stuff that's backwards. And it seems like Jesus is saying if you're broke financially, that you're blessed spiritually. And really what's going on here, it's not that necessarily. Now, being poor financially, there's being poor in spirit. See, some people, one thing Jesus is not saying is that you being poor makes you somehow more spiritual. Do you guys know anybody like that? They're broke and they're going around. They're like, you know what? I'm just like Jesus. He didn't have a place to lay his head and neither do I. And I'm just like, no, you're not. You're lazy. So there's reasons for poverty, and some of it is being lazy, can't hold down a job. Every time you plug into a place, you got an argument because you got to run stuff, right? You've never been there a day in your life, but you show up on day one. And you got to tell everybody how it goes. And then you wonder why they don't call you back for a second interview. And so there's poverty. Sometimes we can be broke that way. But we're not super elite or spiritual because we're broke financially. Although we do know that happens. And one of the things about that is when Jesus is saying this here, it's also not unspiritual to be financially blessed. Because I'll be honest with you, when I'm broke, sometimes there's a temptation for us to look at people that got a lot of money and they're incredibly blessed. And you know what we do? Oh, they are so going to hell. Look at all that money. They are just going to hell. We need to pray for them because they got money and they don't have no Jesus because they got money. But you know what? That's ridiculous. Money is actually an incredible blessing. And there's people that have money and wealth, and what they do with it is they bless people with it. And that's why they got so much of it. I will tell you this. This is the truth, and maybe you know it as well. The most generous people I have ever met are also the most wealthiest. I wonder if there's a connection there with that. What do you think? They're generous. And they bless people with their wealth. This is what Psalm 62:10 says. If riches increase, don't set your heart on them. Now, how many of us want that type of a burden, right? Oh, Lord, if riches increase, you know, it's my cross. You tell me to pick it up and walk with it daily. But don't set your heart on it. Also, too, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul said, command those who are rich in this present age not to be proud, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So it's not so much what we possess, but what possesses us. What has a hold of us? What takes root in us, materially speaking? So Jesus, it's not unspiritual to be wealthy. It's a blessing. And it's not super spiritual to be broke. Jesus says, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom. And right there, someone is going to be like, blessed are you poor? I can't pay the water bill next month, and I don't know how I'm going to make rent. But Jesus says, blessed are you poor. Have you been poor? Do you know what it's like to wonder how you're going to make the heat bill, to keep insurance on the car, to keep gas in there going? And Jesus says, blessed are you poor. I believe also, too, he is talking financially there. Blessed are you poor who doesn't have a lot. And this is why. He says, because yours is the kingdom. And we want to be poor in the right places. And when it says that it's yours is the kingdom, what he's saying is here's the reason why when you're busted and broke, you're blessed, is because you're part of a kingdom that's got a king. And in that kingdom, who's got a king, that's your king. That's your father. That's your provider. So what he's saying is you got a kingdom with a king that will provide for you. And don't you guys know you don't spend your money right? There's there's maybe a couple people in here that mark every penny down and they got their budget every month. God bless you. But others of us, we're just like, hey, it comes in, it goes out, right? We just like, thank you for when it comes in. And we got things all set up a certain way. But Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you've got a king that is going to take care of you financially. He will provide all your needs. And even when we have, if I was to ask you to raise your hand, if you've been unfaithful with money, you've bought stupid stuff, you've done dumb things, you've given money to the wrong people, you've done, you know, and we say, hey, listen, am I guilty of squandering my money away? The answer is yes. We've probably bought The Bachelor on Netflix. And that's like the worst thing. I mean, there's buying dope, and then there's buying The Bachelor. And we've all, like, gone one way or the other, right? But can I tell you, you still got food, you still got clothing. Even when you were acting crazy and spending money any old way that you wanted, did you know that God's provided you a place? Because we've got a king who's in a kingdom. And you know what poverty does to us? It pushes us into a savior. Sometimes there's a temptation when you're getting blessed is your biggest battle, because that's when we're going away from God. When things are going good, the kids are fine, you got health in your body, money in the bank, don't you guys know that's the time that you better be on guard? But when we're going through difficult situations, whether it's financially or spiritually, like he said in Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit. And blessed, so we can be rich but poor, and we can be poor yet we can be rich, because there's both a dependency on Jesus Christ to be our all in everything. When we're rich and with the Lord, we see that, listen, we need him. And there's that dependency that Jesus is talking about. He says, hey, blessed are you that's poor, for yours is the kingdom. And so we want to remember that if we're going through a time or a season of poverty, whether it's spiritually we're broken, emotionally, physically, financially, we need to turn to Jesus. All these people are coming to Jesus from all over the place, Tyre, Sidon, Jerusalem. Thousands of people are coming to Jesus because they know if they can just get to the Lord, he's going to work it out in them. There was something about Jesus that was just so attractive to the poor and to the hungry. And they're coming to the Lord. And like Jesus said, that whoever would come to him who's weary, he would give him rest. And we believe that. Spiritual bankruptcy. I realize that I'm spiritually bankrupt a lot. When people lie about me, I get to where that bothers me when people talk about me. And I can get incredibly, I don't know if this happens to you guys, but I can get really upset about it. When I feel like I'm falling behind, when I feel like I'm failing. And this dependency that comes out of that. God, I need you so bad. I'm so messed up. The Lord says, hey, listen, when you've got that mindset of spiritual poverty and it's pushing to the Lord, you're blessed because the Lord wants us to come to him and all of those things. And so we want to be like these people and come to Jesus, right? Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. That's priceless. So now check this out. Jesus goes from blessing of the poor to the hungry. He says in verse 21, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. You shall be filled. So as Jesus is teaching, like some of us here, maybe their stomachs were growling. I don't know if he was listening to that or what, but he's like, I'm going to use this as an illustration. Blessed are those who are hungry. Vicky, I, Samantha, and Jesse went out to the buffet in Lincoln City a couple weeks ago, and they've got crab, prime rib, clams, cheesecake, everything, so much of it. And we starve ourselves all day, and we go. And it's kind of pricey. And we sit there and we eat for like an hour. And we got out of there and I asked Jesse, because he's kind of a little, he's, you know, little guy. He's like thin, in shape or whatever. And man, he was just plate after plate after plate. And when we were leaving, I said, man, how do you feel? And he goes, I feel sick to my stomach. He goes, I can't believe I paid that much money to fill this bag. And he says, but you know what? If you were to ask me next Friday, I'd be doing it all over again. And the reason why is because what's true in life is true in the spirit. We can go after things, get filled up on it, and then before you know it, we're hungry again because it just doesn't satisfy us. The things of the world, if I would get the promotion, if I could get a new house, if I could get in a new relationship, if I could get the money, if I could just get ahead, whatever it is, I gotta have it because if I get that, then I'm good. And Jesus says, no, you get that, and if you don't have me, you're gonna be thirsty and you're gonna be hungry. Do you guys ever get the thirsties? When you eat pizza, Vicky and I, when we get pizza, the thing that she says when we go get pizza is you better go get a case of water. And the reason why is because when we eat pizza, man, we're so thirsty after we eat pizza, we're downing a case of water. And no matter how much we drink, we never get satisfied. Do you ever experience that? I hate that. That's why I don't want pizza a lot of the times, because I just know I'm going to have to drink a gallon of water and it doesn't even matter. You remember the woman at the well in John? Maybe it was chapter 4, I can't remember. But there was a woman at the well, and this girl was hungry and thirsty. And what I mean by that is this woman had lived the best years of her life. They're over. The best years are over. And she lived it, thinking that sex would take the spot, that a man would fix her, that being in a relationship would do it. And at the time Jesus showed up, this girl had been married and divorced five different times, and she's at the well, and she's so thirsty, and Jesus looks at her, and he says, listen, if you drink from this, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink from me, you'll never thirst. And it was at that moment that that woman realized that everything she needed to satisfy that thirstiness in her was found in him. And so when Jesus says, blessed are those who are hungry, he's not talking about you needing to go eat after church. He's talking about what you've been trying to fill up on before church, what you've been going after all week, what hasn't satisfied, what's let you down. And he says, listen, if you would turn to me like the woman in the well, he'll sustain us. He'll sustain us. And we want to be like the woman at the well, because the hunger that's in us can only be satisfied in him. Man, Jesus fills up those God-sized holes that are in our heart. Living water for our thirst, bread for our hunger. That's what Jesus said. And so he goes from poor, blessed are the poor, to the hungry. And maybe you're here today and you're hungry. Maybe there's been some things that you've been going after and you're not getting satisfied. Can I tell you the reason why? It's because you're going after that which doesn't satisfy. And at some point, you're going to have to get in that lockup with Jesus to understand he's everything that you need. And when you get to that place, that's when you'll realize you don't need nothing else. And you are blessed when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus goes from blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are those that are hungry. They shall be satisfied. It's a promise. It's not Jesus saying, you know what, if you come to me, I might be able to satisfy you. I might be able to fill you. He says, I will satisfy you. I will fill you up. I will change your life. But you're going to have to come. You're going to have to submit humility. And now he goes from hunger to those who weep. He says, blessed are you who weep now, verse 21, for you shall laugh. So what Jesus is saying is that when we see that we're poor in spirit, that we need the Lord, maybe you're behind somebody at Starbucks and you get impatient because they don't know the difference between a tall grande and a venti, and you're just sitting there like, good Lord, woman. Let me order for you. And you realize your spiritual poverty, that you're impatient, you're angry, you're lustful, you're hurtful, whatever. And then that drives you into this sense of weeping. Man, God, have you ever had those conversations with the Lord where you're like, God, I am so sorry that I've wasted so many years on the stupidest of things that have done nothing but just destroy me, in abusive relationships that I knew that were not godly, that just wrecked me. Lord, I'm so sorry. And you go through those conversations with God and you're weeping. It's really called repentance. And the Bible says that godly worldly sorrow leads to death, but godly sorrow leads to repentance. And he says, blessed are you who weep. So weeping's not always bad. It's good to recognize that we sin and fall short of the glory of God, because some people don't have that thing. It's broken them. You can have conversations about it all day long and they don't get it. But you know, as the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 30, I think it was, where the psalmist said, weeping may last for the night, but joy will come in the morning. And here's why. Because there's joy in Jesus. When we don't have to carry garbage around. We're talking about identifying Christians, and that they may be poor in spirit, but they've got a king who is a provider. They hunger, they thirst after righteousness, they weep over their sins, and they're torn up about it. But you know what's great is when we turn to Jesus, there's joy. Man, do you know how good it feels to just get all that garbage off your chest and say, Lord, I know you're not judging me over it. I know you're not paying me back for it. I hear people tell me all the time, Jason, God's paying me back. And that's ridiculous. The Bible says that God paid Jesus back for your sin and my sin. He doesn't pay you back. We have consequences, but God never pays you back. In fact, he gave you what you didn't earn. And that's grace, and it's mercy, and it's forgiveness. And so weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning because there's joy in Jesus. And maybe there's some things that you've been holding on to that you want to get off your chest with God. And he's telling you now, listen, you don't have to be burdened with this garbage anymore, that you can turn your life to him. And you may have weeping, but there's rejoicing because there's joy in Jesus. Amen. And so it says in Psalm 103:12, he's removed our sin and he's thrown them as far as the east is from the west. I love that. And so now he's going to get ready to close this out with how people, if you are recognizing your poverty in your spirit, you're torn up about sin, you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you have sorrow, you weep, God's filling you up with joy, you're being changed by God, how do you think people are going to react to you once you start giving and walking and living your life for Jesus? You think you're going to have support? You're out of your mind. Nobody cares about nobody cares about God saving you, giving you another chance after chance after chance, putting his Holy Spirit in you for power. You're not going to get support with that. A lot of the times there's just people who don't even care. And you're by yourself. The guys at the work, when you go to work tomorrow, they're not going to say, hey, let's gather around, pray over you, man, because, you know, we want to encourage you. Nobody's going to do that. In fact, the reality of it is as we give our life to Jesus and we start seeking after him, this is what's going to happen. Men are not going to include you. They're going to exclude you. This is what it says. In verse 22, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and they revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Blessed are you when men hate you. Now, that's not something they sell at Hobby Lobby. This is one maybe Liberty will make for you on the side that you typically put over the dinner table. This is, in fact, I kind of prefer, you know, God will provide for you. He's able to do abundantly more than you could ever think or imagine. Those are mine. That's what I'm looking for at Hobby Lobby when it's 50% off. But this one here, blessed are you when men hate you for the Son of Man's sake. So look, Jesus, there's a condition to that. It's not just blessed are you when people think you're a total tool. So on your car, you got, I hate Democrats. I hate Subaru drivers and tree huggers. And then you pull up to a light and someone hits you in the head with a brick and you're just like, thank you, Jesus. That's not what he's saying. Because see, you can be an idiot and walk around like you're getting persecuted because, you know, everybody's messed up. And you don't understand why people want to kill you. And you say, hey, praise God, it's for the kingdom's sake. No, it's not. I was talking to Sam and Shannon about this. There's people out there who are really hard to be around. There's a guy that came into our shop, and he looked at Vicky and I, and he says, you're stressed out. And I was looking at Vicky, and I said, no, we're not. We're actually having a good day. No, you're calm down. And I'm telling you guys, I'm calm. At this point, I'm calm. He's like, seriously, no. And I'm like, we're calm. Like, do you want me to light some candles? What? He says, you guys just need to chill out. And then in my heart, then it was like, my heart. You know, you're recognizing cues for those of you that were in anger management. And you're like, man, I thought I was okay, but now I really hate you. Like, get out of my, what are you doing? Now I am stressed out. You're freaking me out. Beat it. And the guy could go out the door and go, man, thank you, Jesus. No, you're a creepy person. Jesus is saying, blessed are you who, when men speak evil of you for his name's sake, don't you guys know that there's going to be people, because you're a Christian and you put yourself out there, let's just tighten this up. You put yourself out there for Jesus. You know what's going to happen? You got a bullseye on your back. This kind of freaked me out when I went into ministry, because I thought when you go into ministry and you help people, you love them, you serve them, they love you back. I didn't know that they would split and then flip on you and lie about you and talk to you about everybody about you. And then the people they talk to just sit there and listen to it. After you've done everything for them. Have you ever helped somebody, been over backwards for them, was there for them when they were freaking out, going to hit the dope again, and you're just like, listen, I'll be right there, hang on. And you do everything you can. You need some money, I'm going to help you out with money. You need a place to stay, you need a ride, you need this, you need that, can I pray for you? And then the next thing you know, boom, they're gone, and you're the worst person in the world because the well ran dry, and they can't get nothing from you again. Blessed are you when men talk about you, when you got a bullseye on your back and you're loving the Lord and you're still serving. You're not letting these people keep you from doing what's right. Because if you know as well as I do, you can help people so much and then you get tired of it and you have a mentality that says, forget this, I'm done. And the Lord says, blessed are you that doesn't say I'm done, but you keep going and you endure it. And so I want to close out with this thought. I want to go back into more of this. We don't have any time today, but I want to show you what Jesus is doing here. He's identifying what a Christian is. And what a Christian is someone who lives on a whole nother level. When people say bad things about you, do you know why you don't go around tearing everybody up that does that? Because you're not on their level. Did you know that? They're on a... If someone is going to go talk trash about you while you're not even there to defend yourself, they are on a different level. Let me put it to you guys like this. If Bill Gates went on Facebook and he saw somebody ripping him up, this guy is an idiot, he piggybacked off of Steve Jobs, Microsoft is going to tank, this guy is stupid. And it's some guy who's probably living at home, has got no job, and is just hyped up on Mountain Dew. And Bill Gates was to see that. How many of you guys think for 1 minute Bill Gates would take the time out and fight this guy living at home in his mom's basement? How many of you guys think he'd take the time and do that? Do you know why he wouldn't do it? Because Bill Gates is not on that guy's level. He's on a whole nother level. And that's why when Jesus says, hey, listen, when people talk bad about you, they persecute you for the son's sake, you're not on their level. And if you would start thinking of it like that, listen, they're down here. You're going to go from being angry at the people that are tearing you up to feeling pity and sorrow for them. Right? So here's what I want us to remember as we go out today. Christians are people who live on another level. Would you guys stand with me, worship team, come up. Christians are those who live on another level. So live on another level. Christians are the people that when they're poor, whether they're broke financially, they're broke spiritually, they're on another level because they're part of a kingdom that's got a king that's going to take care of them and provide for them. We're on another level. We're on another level when we're hungering and thirsting. The world is going after so many things and they never get satisfied. The well never gets filled up. They're always hungry. But Christians are those who live on another level that has a God that says, I'm going to be your living water. You're never going to thirst. I'm going to be your bread of life. You're never going to hunger again because you're on another level. When we're weeping and we're sorrowful and we're like, God, forgive us, we're repenting, we can leave out of here better than we came in and we can dump it off at the Lord and say, hey, you ask, whoever is weary and heavy burden, come to me. Nobody says that. You don't go up into people's drama and say, hey, just dump on me. That's what I want for a great day. Tell me all of your garbage. But you know what Jesus does? He says, give it to me because I'll take it. I want you to live on another level. And when people are bad-mouthing you, criticizing you, taking advantage of you, you're on another level. Remember that. That's who we are. We're Christians and we live on another level. And so we want to close out in prayer. And I want to tell you guys right now that as we're taking communion, we're going to close out in this last song. Please remember this, that Jesus Christ lived his whole life on another level. He took our sins in him. He paid the price that we could never pay. We're so unforgiving, and the Lord came, and while we were yet in our transgressions, he died for us. And so maybe you're here today and you haven't made a commitment to give your life to the Lord, and you're carrying some things that you need to dump right now. Today is the day. This is your opportunity to give it to the Lord and to walk out of here clean and refreshed and to take that weeping and turn it into joy, because there's joy in Jesus. Would you guys bow your head with me this morning? Let's close out with this. We're going to ask the Lord to come into our life, to change our life, to forgive us of our sins. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. Father, we weep over it. We're not happy about it. We're broken people. We live in the flesh. We deliberately sin. Lord, we sin and we don't even know we sin at times because we're so ignorant of it. But you see it all. And we give our life to you this morning. And we just pray in Jesus' name, as your word said, live on another level. Lord, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, Lord. And as far as the east is from the west, you throw our sins, Lord, and you don't hold it against us, Lord. And whoever would come to you, you in no way would cast out. And that's a promise to you here today who came in here heavy burden and laden. God wants to give you rest. Will you take it? So, Father, we ask that humbly, Lord, we submit our life to you. Change us, God. Forgive us. Lord, I pray over every heart right now that's asking for forgiveness in whatever happened this week, this last year, a couple years, whatever happened in past relationships, Lord, whatever families were started and ended or however it worked out, God, you know. And Father, we're praying right now together with our brothers and sisters as we're confessing our sins to you, God. Forgive us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. Father, we forgive those who have sinned against us as we come to the communion table, remembering your great sacrifice. How dare we take it in vain? So God, we release anger, Father, debts people owe us, forgiveness due to us. God, we release them as you've released us. We love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.